I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter. Of all of God's works, the greatest of His works is His Word. And every time here at the Way Biblical Research Center, when we turn to God's Word, it is our people, God's people, who come out of different backgrounds, different denominational backgrounds, different environments, whose hearts get blessed because of the abundance of God's Word. The Way Ministry has only one purpose for its existence and only one right for its work that it does, and that's the accuracy with which we endeavor to study to show ourselves approved unto God by rightly dividing the Word of Truth. And tonight I've chosen for this wonderful, joyous occasion a section of the Word of God that I believe, again, will all thrill all of our hearts. It always thrills my heart, and I remember the first time I ever saw some of these truths in this particular chapter of the Gospel of Luke. My old heart just got set on fire because, again, I saw how far below par I had been living when God had expected me to live with that life which is more than abundant, and that I was to be more than a conqueror through Him who loved me and who gave Himself for me. A number of years ago, Mrs. Wirwell and I and our three oldest children stood in the area of the place where this particular section of the Word of God took place. I cannot tell you how it thrilled my heart, and of course tonight I see the vision of this thing in my mind's eye with all the trouble that's going on in the Near East tonight. I can see this territory. I can see it, some of the things that are happening. But what a thrill it was at that time when we were able to move freely about in the Bible land, to stand at the place where Jesus stood at one time and where the crowd pressed upon Him to the degree and to the extent that He had to get a little boat, a little fisherman's boat, get in that boat and move out so that He could teach the multitude. This section of the Word of God from the Gospel of Luke is taken right from that area. And in this 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we read the following. And it came to pass in verse 1, that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the latest news report, as the people pressed upon Him to hear one thing, what? The Word of God. Isn't that tremendous? When people begin to press for the Word of God, they're going to get answers. But as long as people are pressing for their opinion or for their ideas or for their baptism or for their sprinkling or for their dry cleaning, no idea. No greatness of God's power. God's power becomes a reality to men and women who hunger and thirst after one thing. What? Righteousness. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No question about it. And they pressed upon Jesus to hear the Word of God. It reminds me of the early church after the day of Pentecost. They went everywhere preaching what? The Word. And Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Nothing has ever changed a man's life or a woman's life or a community's life or a state's life or the life of a nation except the Word of God. And when that Word of God has preeminence, things begin to happen, things begin to change like those of us here in the Way Ministry know full well. They pressed upon Jesus to hear the Word of God. And verse 2 says, and saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them, and the fishermen were washing their nets, getting ready for the next day's fishing expedition. And He, Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him and said to Simon that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, verse 4. When he had left speaking, when Jesus had finished his presentation of the Word of God, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. A number of weeks ago, I wrote to Reverend Wade. I believe this may have been in the letter you received at Fort Myers when you were, wherever it was, Fort Lauderdale when you arrived, where I said this is not a pun, but this is the reality of your presence and your coming with us, that I don't want men and women who will just wade. I want men and women who will launch out. Most of us, when it comes to the Word of God, have just been waiting. We've just been trying out the water a little bit to see if we want to go in for a bath or not. I don't know how you are, but I know how I am. When it comes to getting my feet wet in the water, it's always cold to begin with. There's only one way to get in, and that is to plunge in. I suppose this is what the people tell me to swim. I don't swim. I swim poorly at it. But I understand this. When he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. He had been teaching them the Word of God, more or less, sitting in that boat out in the shallows. But when it came to fishing, getting fish, Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Get out there where the fish are and let down your what? Net for a draught. In other words, put your net all out. Look, in verse 2 or someplace up here, they said they were washing their nets. Where was that? Verse 2, yes it is. They were washing their what? Nets. They had a plurality of, they had more than one net. That's what I want you to see. They had nets, plural, right? Jesus said, quit hanging around the shore, the periphery, launch out in the deep. Get down to something that's real deep. Work, walk out there, get out there, and let down your nets for a draught. The Word of God is the will of God, right? Jesus Christ gave the Word of God, right? What was the will of God for those fishermen? To launch out into the deep and to let down their what? Nets for what? That was the will of God. The will of God can only be known after you know the Word of God. No man can know the will of God until he first knows the Word. He'll guess. His guessing could be right, and it could be what? Wrong. And when you're dealing with the eternal verities of your soul, of your life, if you're dealing with something that's going to live forever and ever, you better be surer than guesswork. We have to come to the place that we can again read God's Word and that we understand it as God meant it, as God said it, that it means what it says and says what it means. And when God, by way of Jesus Christ, said to Simon, launch out into the deep, what did he mean? Get away from the shore, quit waiting on the periphery, and launch out in the deep, and let down your net for a draught. We have the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if we ever want to do God's will, we must first get God's what? And that's what the way ministry is designed to help people to do. Our whole purpose, our whole desire, is to get men and women back to God's Word. Not what somebody says or somebody thinks, not what some theologian may argue about, but what does the Word say? For thus saith the Lord. Once we know God's Word, we can say with the prophets of old those wonderful words, thus saith the Lord. Right. Now, Peter had the Word of God. So did the rest of these fishermen, right? They had the Word of God. Jesus had given them the Word. Now, once you have the Word of God, you're going to react. Anytime you hear the Word of God, there's going to be a reaction. I think it was in the Areopagus on Mars Hill, if I remember correctly, in Book Acts. It said they heard the Word of God, some believed. Some said, we do not believe, and a third group said, we're going to think about it. They didn't believe either. There's always a reaction to the Word of God. Peter, Simon, reacted to the Word of God, and that reaction is given in verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. We fished this place time and time again, and we were out all last night. We know where the fish are, Master. This is our profession. You stick in yours. You know, teach us the Word, that's great. But don't
come around here and sort of try to tell us where to fish, because fishing's our business. Now, you know what Jesus did? He did the most wonderful thing a minister does. Oh, won't you please come to church? Won't you please sit on the front row? And won't you please put in your measly dollar? No. Boy, this is something I had to learn from the Word, and it stands every time. Once the Word of God is given, God never gives the Word the second time until men act on it the first time. He said to the man, stretch forth thy what? And then he begged him, won't you please stretch it forth? No. He said to a fellow who was a leper, remember? Naaman. Wasn't it? Come all the way down. And the little old prophet never even held a tea party for him. Never even rolled out the red rug. He simply said to send a little servant to the back door or someplace and said, go tell Naaman to dip in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman started home. The prophet ran after him and said, oh, Naaman, won't you please come back? Won't you please do God's word? Huh? No. The other fellow did the running, not the prophet. The prophet, as I teach in my advanced class, just sat down, brewed himself another pot of tea, and had himself a cookie. Because people, once the word of God's been given, it's never given a second time until they act. But there's always a reaction to the word. Simon said, Master, we've toiled all night. We've fished this place. We've fished her all night. And we caught absolutely what? Nothing. Now you tell us to launch back out in the deep, the same place. The fish aren't there, Master. And then he gets to this thing. Well, maybe. I'll just try it out a little bit. After everything else has failed, maybe God. Ever heard this? We try everything else, but when everything else has failed, maybe God. So God becomes the last resort. Well, I know that isn't right, but I want to tell you something tonight. I'm real grateful that God's still there even as the last resort. Boy, I thought of that this week. My Dotsie, I think, brought it up one night. Somebody called we hadn't heard hide or hair of for 4 years. They never wrote us a letter, never thanked us for anything we taught them in God's Word, never supported the way of ministry one penny. But here they were, boy, they had a tremendous physical need. Everything else had failed. Nobody was able to help them. But they called on the phone and said, would you lift us in prayer? And I thought to myself, I'm grateful they called. That the way ministry is still standing, that men and women are still here at the headquarters, that will love God and will pray for people and have no resentment, no bitterness, hold no enmity or envy or anything else for anybody, but that they're still here, that when people have a real need, they know where to call. Why not? Oh, sure. The malefactor, wasn't it? He'd have never made it had God not been there the last minute. But how many of us? Likewise. I thank my God that he's even there. When everything else has failed and we've tried everything else, that God is still a reality. So even though Peter said, Lord, we know the fishing business. We know it in and out. But Lord, you made a statement. Even though we know all about this. Now, Lord, I'll tell you what we'll do. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down all the nets we got in the boat, huh? No, I'll let down what? Net, singular, was that the word of God? No, you sound like a modern theologian. No. The word of God was let down the what? Net. And Peter said, Lord, according to your word, wasn't the Lord's word at all. The Lord's word was, launch out in the deep and let out what? The net. Net. Everything you got. Put her out, Peter. Peter said, Lord, we fished all night, we toiled, but Lord, if you don't mind, according to your word, we'll try you out a little bit. We'll just let out a net. Singular. Boy, hasn't this been indicative of a lot of our lives? We've heard the word of God and we've said, Lord, I'll try you out just a little bit. I get people, you know, in the foundational classes, lead them in the manifestations of speaking in tongues and so forth, and immediately they say, but Lord, wonder if I could know the interpretation. Lord said, let out the net. Peter said, Lord, we'll put out a net, singular. Nevertheless, at thy word, every time you read those things like this in the word, I stand just in tremendous awe because of the places where men have said, according to thy word. I think old Abraham was 90 years old till he finally got there. Oh, 99, wasn't he? Oh, Sarah was 90, wasn't she? How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? Mrs. Crone, how old was she? Well, who knows for sure? Boy, we better read the book sometime. I'll join with you. I think he was 90. I'm not sure. Isn't that something? I read that story. Huh? When Isaac was born. There we are. Sarah's 90. The gal had to be younger. The man, it's custom. But, ladies and gentlemen, up until this time, what did old Abraham do? He had the word of God. God had said, I'll give you a son. But all those years, he never had a son. So he decided, well, Ishmael's pretty good. And he said, Lord, why not Ishmael? Lord had said, I'm going to give you one. A boy, when he got to be 99 years old, he finally arrived. And he said, be it unto me according to the word. And there was Isaac. If you ever want to read this according to thy word, you read sections, I think, like Hebrews 11. Some of those sections. But the greatest one I knew is the one of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that story? When the angel came and brought the word of God so wonderfully and so beautifully, and Mary said, be it unto me according to thy what word, and she brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. When men and women really say and really mean, be it according to thy word, and literally take that word all the way, not just a net, but net. If the Lord said net, go all the way, be it according to thy word, all the way, we'll get the result of all the way the Lord has given. The tremendous truth. Verse 6 says, and when they had this done, even though they let out one net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net what? Suppose they let out all the nets. Well, they wouldn't have to go fishing for a year. They'd have caught so many, they'd have had to get new deep freezers to keep them. But even letting out a net, people, when we just walk a little bit on God's word, look at the greatness of the reality that's come into people's lives when they just walk a little. Just imagine the abundance that keeps coming to God's people when we go all the way with God's word. That we just come to the place and say, thus saith the Lord. Be it unto me according to the word. He came that we might have life and have it more than once. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. If God be for us, who can be what? Against us. Isn't that tremendous? All of these. The word. And we just launch out upon that whole word. They caught a multitude of fish. And then something remarkable happened. They beckoned unto their partners, verse 7, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships. So they began to sink. They had to bail the water out to keep the fish. Or something. Verse 8. And when Simon saw, this is the problem, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Way Ministry represents the greatest research and teaching ministry in the world today. I believe perhaps there is as much light among God's people in the Way Ministry around the nations of the world as there has been light at any time, anywhere, since the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the first century. And yet I am confident that most of us would have to say what Peter said, "Depart from me from a sinful man, O Lord," because how many places have we not undersold the Word of God, so to speak? How many places have we not lived below par? How many times have we not failed in our walk of abundance? God's Word said one thing, we knew it as plain as day, but we walked in something a lot less. And we'd have to say with Peter, "Lord, we're just a sinful people." The reason Peter said this, because he was astonished, verse 9 says. He was astonished, and all those that were with him, at the drawn of fishes which they had taken, when they had expanded only a little bit of believing and had received such an abundance. What a tremendous reality this truth is. Verse 10 says, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and what? Followed him." These men were called upon to be apostles for the Lord. And to have the ministry of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, or pastor, it comes to the place that we have to forsake all to follow him. It comes to the place where you let nothing in the material world stand ahead of the greatness of God's Word and the call of God in your life. If you're interested in making $12 an hour, you come and work on our IBM. That's what we paid this week for a serviceman. I guess they're worth it. Somebody set up the pay scale. I don't know. But you see, people, if this was the thing that some of us men are looking at, there wouldn't be any word. The Word of God has nothing to do with what a man could earn. It has everything to do with the call of God and the settling of that Word in the soul of a man or woman. And the Apostle Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the Word. If I do not teach the Word, he'd have been miserable as an IBM serviceman." He had to serve people the greatness of God's Word. Now, there's nothing wrong with an IBM serviceman. We had the best one here. We liked him. Good fellow. Wonderful. Nothing wrong with all of those things. I know that. But people, what I'm trying to get you to see beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if God has his hand on a man's life or on a woman's life, to the end where they are to teach the Word, nothing in the material world dare stand in their way. Nothing. They must first and foremost be dedicated to the Word of God, and that Word stands. If all hell breaks loose and everybody else stands against it, they must stand. And ladies and gentlemen, to find people today who stand is really something. Because we're beset on every hand in our environment, not wrestling with flesh and blood, but spirit powers that are infiltrating many times even the best of God's people, so to speak, and instead of standing, they give. And once you give one iota on the accuracy of God's Word, you're not letting out nets, you're gone back to the net. And ladies and gentlemen, we end up with things which are below par. All our lives, our times, our ministry, ladies and gentlemen, calls for men and women dedicated to the abundance of God's Word who will stand and let out the net. Just believe God with all the abundance we can for God's mighty blessing upon our people, our nation, and the world. Well, they forsook all and they followed him. Remember Matthew chapter 5? You'll remember it when I read it with you. It's a tremendous truth. You'll all remember it. Now, not maybe everybody can teach the Word of God like someone else can teach it. Now, maybe not everybody can be an apostle and so forth. That's right. But there are disciples in the body. And the body is one. Every member is a member in particular in that body, and every member has an important part. And your job in the body of Christ is as important in God's sight in the capacity in which you are serving as my job is, as my privilege is, as my opportunity is. Had the way believers not stood with us financially, the Wades could not be ministering on the staff of the Way Ministry. In other words, I couldn't have done it by myself. It took God's people with everybody's hand going out for the abundance that God wanted us.
Look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 13.
Ye are the salt of what?
The earth.
You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good to nothing but be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men who are going up to the temple to worship God. They just threw it out. Everybody walked on it.
We're not only salt. Jesus said we are the light of the what?
World. And people, wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. All the darkness in the world cannot comprehend the light. And as long as you men and women, as long as I stand for the greatness of God's word, all the darkness of the world, all the darkness of the satanic kingdoms of the world cannot overcome that light. So you people are the lights in your community. You're the salt of the earth in your community, in the shops and factories and out on the farms, in the kitchens, wherever you are the salt, you're the light.
Like a city set on a hill, it can't be hid.
Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a pillar. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before what?
Men,
that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Acts, Romans, Corinthians.
2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto whom?
God.
Who always causes us to triumph. When we let out the nets, we are always caused to triumph. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest, makes known, reveals the sweetness of his knowledge by our walk in every place where we walk. You're the salt of the earth. We're the light. Boy, what a tremendous thing. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to what?
Triumph.
And he makes known the sweetness of this triumph by the knowledge of God that's within us as we walk upon the greatness of God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, I want this to be a new day for the Way Ministry. Every day that we launch out into the deep and let down our nets for a draught. I want this to happen in my life, your life. I want more of the abundance and of the power of God to be made manifest among all of us.